And they ask me why I do, do it, this, that, the other thing, and what have I been doing? Sitting Shiva and mourning the loss of the people. Because for you, I don't know about you. You've told me that I've been gone for how many moons? And for me, I couldn't say that I've been gone for more than, you know, one. It feels like I've been away for a moment, a split second, a snap, as you can hear the snapping. And, you know, I take a break. I take a break every season. And sometimes they're a few months. Sometimes they're just a couple weeks. Sometimes they're a year. We had a year in there somewhere. And I love the last show that I did for season 5. I loved it because it had reviews of people saying I didn't sound like myself, and I sounded depressed, and I sounded different. And I thought, that's very interesting. And why not do a show coming back? Because after coming back, once I am back, and I'm back, the Artist D, who the hell else would it be, on the Fabulous D Show, leads me to think about what I'm doing here. The last several months I've had, that's like almost 6 months that I've been out of your ears as far as live shows or shows that are recorded for your enjoyment of me talking. And since that last show, because it was the last one, and people, they're very creatures of habit, they listen to the first thing on the page, which was the first, well, which was the last show of the last season, which was the first show on the page. So they might have gotten a different idea from then to now. So I thought, why not do a show about the things that have changed? Because for 6 months, what have I done? I have been learning, educating, thinking. And after 6 years of doing the show already, because, mind you, it has been 6 years since I started the Fabulous D Show with Charlotte Bukowski, Lola Jane, out in the desert. And it's only season 6 now because we took a year off. If we had done one succinctly year after year, we would have gotten to already season 7. So really, it's been 7 years since we started this endeavor, which is extremely hard to believe. Extremely hard to believe. Back in the duh-duh day.
It's the Artist D Show, the Fabulous D, the Fabulous D, an unearthing of the underground, alien in the sky.
A lot of things have changed because we started the show with, you know, if you haven't already figured out, we start the show and you start things in life the way you often end up doing them when you're done perfecting them. That is, you know, we started with a dream, with an ambition, with a thought. And we spent the next 7 years going right back around to the format in which I decided that we wanted to do it in the first place. Because much like life, growing up, you're born, you have an idea of who you are, and you want to be that person, so you go out on stage and you tell everyone, your parents or your family or your friends or your peers, this is who I want to be. And they say, no, that's not who you want to be. No, that's not right. That's not people. And so I entered into this, born anew of a radio broadcaster. I had no experience, no idea. I had no idea that I could talk for 2 hours worth or do a show. I didn't think anyone would listen. I didn't think anyone would care. And we started our show in the desert, and that's what we wanted to do, was we wanted to be a talk show. And everyone said there's no talk shows on the radio, on the internet. On radio, you only find talk shows on AM radio, so of course, the majority of people think there are no talk shows on radio, unless you want to be, absolutely insane. And is that going to vibrate through my entire show? Because if it's going to be vibrating, and this is my point exactly, I can get up. I am on the radio, and I can get up, and I can stop whatever is vibrating from vibrating. And you can still hear me without delay, without pause. I may have been just a little distant, but you could still hear me. And that's what I'm talking about. That's where radio has gone, is that there's no more people behind windows wagging their fingers at you about what to do. No, if the doorbell rings or something starts rattling across the room or an idiot in the background is going on about something, you can stop the show. Or you can keep going. And nobody's going to tell you there's no sensors, there's no quality control, because what I'm giving you is quality. Believe it or not. And we started the show with that in mind, was a talk show between two intelligent-based life forms who would talk about the underground and topics of the above ground on an underground level, and bring you what you don't get to hear, And we've done that. We have always done that. We take the kidnapping, the murder, the rape, the marriages, the sheeple and the people in the steeple, and we digest it with opinions that you would not hear coming out of the mouths of Peter Jennings. That's the last time I watched any news on television. He's dead now. He's been dead for quite some time. And that's why we started the show, was to unearth the underground, an opinion-based show, but yet a truth-based show. And then, that goes on and people say, people are basically not interested in really listening, as far as when you scratch the ground and you come up with a bunch of people and you say, hey, I've got this show, listen to it. The majority of those people not going to listen, because 2 hours worth of intelligent talk and opinion that is not usually that of which matches the normal scratch the surface type of person is going to be rejected. And so we went on and did our thing. And over the seasons, season two, it kind of faded into a underground show with popular topics. And, well, because then I got railed. I'm not going to say roped. I'm going to say railed, because I rode the rail of internet broadcast. And, of course, it started with where I started. It starts wherever you started, If you were to start now, where would you begin? Well, you'd begin on Spreaker or Blog Talk, much like we did. But Blog Talk now, it's more like a show. And people, famous people, have begun to do podcasting on their own. And it's different than it was. So if you started now, you might start right off. Because the internet has been refined, and much like the refined whites, it has been refined into this news, conversation, radio, music outlet. And once again, the sheeple have invaded and they do their thing. And I grew with that because I grew with internet radio. I went through the steps, basically. You know, we recorded in a room, pre-recorded opinion. And then everyone said, live, live, live. You've got to be live. You have to be live. Well, I couldn't imagine, because being a painter and a writer, I mean, you don't write a novel and immediately hand it right over, you know. You don't take the pages and hand it right over to the public. You hand it over to a proofreader. Well, first you hand it over to your friends who tell you what's wrong with it or what they think is wrong with it. You should never listen to them. Usually. Then you hand it over to your editor, who tells you also what's wrong with it. Then you hand it over to the publisher, and they go through the spell checking, and, you know, they run it through the filters. And live radio is unfiltered enough. However, live internet radio is completely unfiltered. And it scared the shit out of us, because we had never recorded anything before that wasn't, you know, fine-tuned and edited. And we went into live, and we liked live. We could do live. Thankfully, I was blotto out of my mind, and usually my co-hosts were as well. And then we went onto a station. We had an actual, honest-to-God internet radio station. And that station played music, and I was the only talk show on the station. And then I moved to another station, and they only played music, and I was the only talk show on the station. But even the way that it went, other talk shows joining with music included, they pushed me into music, and I played music until I found out that I couldn't share the file then, which really ropes you into a live broadcasted format or recorded format. Either way, you could not offer the file for download, right? So you're stuck. And I didn't want to be stuck. So I took out the music, sucked it out, and they got really mad. And, you know, I still had a unique show. But it bothered them that I could not fit. Because you see, the problem is that I'm doing what I want to do and what I think I should do. And other people try to do what I do and fail at it, or they don't get the results that they'd like. So they stop doing it, and then in turn tell me to stop doing it. Because especially if I do something that's unpopular, no one's listening to it. Well, it's not going to stop me from doing it. I'm still going to do it. The difference between then and now is that I'm just going to do it. And I've come far too far to listen to somebody else. And even when my show was at its peak with the format that worked, they still argued with me. And it was still a burden on me, because you have to show up at Sunday at 4 p.m., because of time zones, and everything's based on New York City, because Eastern Time. Eastern Time rules the world, and if you put a show on at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, you're hitting middle of the early sleepy morning for the Brit crowd. You're hitting sleepy time for New York City, and you end up being, you know, here we are over on the western side of the entire continent. And the people here are still seem to be based on, you know, that time, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And, you know, we're just, our night's just getting started when your party's ending. Which has always been a problem. And that's why I liked Atlanta. One of the many reasons is because when I moved to Atlanta and moved the show to Atlanta, I could do the show at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And it was really 7 p.m. Eastern time for me, which meant I felt 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's like why I never understood the late shows being recorded. And, you know, once I found out, because you watch it at midnight, you're right, and you're in the midnight feel that you want to watch late night TV. But then think about the people that are recording that. They're recording it at 2 p.m., 3 p.m. It's in the middle of the afternoon, and they're producing the Late Late Show. And you come to realize for them, they do or do not, I'm not sure, have the mindset that it's 3 a.m. I mean, that's the kind of thing I had to do to get into that frame of mind. I'm doing a night show in the middle of the day. And people are listening to me at night. I can't mention middle of the day. It doesn't work for them. You've got to get them in that right mood. And it was never, it was too much production. Just way too much production. And showing up and then live. And it was always with the chat room. Always the chat room. And people. Always with people. And I used to think that it was just egotistical of me that I wanted to put on a production that people would listen to or read or look at. Anything I do. I've always been caught up in this wave of, well, you've got to involve the people. And, you know, think about your audience. Right. Well, what we don't realize is, and that's the cop-out here, because the internet is supposed to be interactive. So I think they've got fooled into thinking that even internet radio, opinionated internet radio, can't simply provide a service, a show, an entertainment vessel. And that if I'm going to be opinionated and speak, then I need to include you. And I do want to include you, but I don't want to look at a chat room all the time. I mean, last week was a blast. We had a fantastic time on air. And the other times that I've been in chat and on air have been fantastic. I like the interaction. But as we've learned with season 3 and season 4, the beginning of, and I guess season 5 too, is that people interacting, it becomes all about the people interacting. And you're always going to look at the chat room to find out what's going on. You tell a story, you want to see how they reacted. You tell an opinion, you want to see if they have an opinion. And then you want to, in turn, share that opinion and talk about that opinion. And I don't think that's what my show is about. I don't think that's what I'm about. I think that we had it right in season 1, where we talked about what was on our minds. And that was unique. What was on our minds was unique. And therefore, we shared that with the people. The people digested it. The people liked it. And they might have changed their minds. Or added something to their lives. Because nothing is better than adding more enlightenment via opinion and people's. Because we would not get anywhere without a collective opinion of people. And I think that's what was right. And I think the fun that we've had is fantastically fabulous and fun. But I think there's a level that we need to go to, I don't want to use the word educate. I like enlighten. I want to enlighten people to other people's opinions and lifestyles. And that should be all that you're coming here for. There can be entertainment. There can be fabulousness. There can be interviews. And there will be interviews. I've just completed one for you. And it went swimmingly, and it will open your mind. It will be fantastic. But there shouldn't be so much of a party. Life is a party as it is. No need for more party. So when you heard last season's finale, you know, people were saying it was depressing, you know, it was me out and about thinking on a daily basis. And quite honestly, that is me on a daily basis, always thinking, always doing. So I want to get back. I want to get back to the opinion. I want to get back to the talking. I want to get back to what internet radio really is, because we're getting lost. And it's not just me. It's the people who want to change the world, and then they have a music show. Why do you have a music show if you want to change the world? That's just odd. And I want to talk to people, and I will talk to people. But I also want to talk, and I want to have the time to talk, and I want to sit here and talk to you like you're on the phone with me. Because that's what I always liked, and that's what fills me. I'm a very, I don't want to say lonely person, because how can someone who is surrounded by and be so busy with and be so loved by be lonely? But you can be, because I like lonely. I like being alone. It excites me to do things, and there is no better love that I have than that of the time that I have to spend with myself and create things. And yet not egotistical, not self-centered, because yet I'm doing it to put it out there. And that's what I've kind of learned over the break. And I'm always learning this all the time throughout my life, because it's always been for someone else. I've always wanted to enlighten and inspire someone else. And I got really caught up in that. And I'm thinking that I didn't ever spend enough time with myself, to myself, even though, and maybe that's why, because when I was alone and lonely, I was a much, I spent the time with myself, so why should I spend any more time with myself, you know, when I go out there to help people and to do things? And it is internet radio. It's organic. What we're doing here is organic. It's supposed to be what comes to mind. It started with, internet radio started with, you know, people in their trailers, you know, complete poor trailer trash with a little bit of a better connection than a dial-up modem, sitting around their living room with merchandise they can't afford, as in microphones and computers, smoking cigarettes or their choice of smoky treat, sometimes eating, and just talking. And you tuned in because they were friends and they were there talking. And I still get that feeling when I tune into the internet radio shows that are talking, and that they're not so focused on, you know, there's a topic, but there's not a topic. It's organic. It comes. It comes with a territory. And people are just, you know, they're filling the internet with this stuff and format. That's the other crux of the situation, is format. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have an opening and an intro, and then you're going to have a monologue, and then you're going to have your show, and you're going to have your guest on. You have your spots, your advertisement spots here, here, and here, and then you're going to end it. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I am saying it's overdone, and it's been done. And the internet was a formatless format. We were supposed to be the anti-format. We're not supposed to start shows with advertisements and introductions and we got so caught up in that format because it's what we know and it's what other people know. So other people will be attracted to it and listen to it because, hey, this is like the Johnny Carson show. This is like the RuPaul show when RuPaul had a real show. That's the format people go by because they can do it. But I want to be anti-format. I want to be, hey kids, live from the living room. Again, from the bedroom, from the streetcar, from the hotel room. I want to just call you up, you listening right now on the website. I want to call in and do a show. And talk about whatever that I need to talk about. And should I promise an hour? No. You get, and I think it's fair to say you get this much time. But do you use that time fully? No, because organic conversation doesn't utilize time fully. If you're calling someone for an hour, you're not going to talk to them for an hour every time. But it screws up our format because we have stations. We have internet radio stations with times. And if your show's going to be on at 7 p.m. EST, then it needs to be from 7 to 7:30 or 7 to 8 o'clock. Oh, I hated that. I hated that because that was our first shows. They were to be an hour to 2 hours. But when I ended up formatting the file, not the show, but, you know, I edited it and I made it what it was, and it was excruciating to try to stretch out what I had to an hour when really all we had to say was for 45 minutes and that's all that we should have put out. But when we changed over to format, scheduling, it had to be. So you have to sit there and you have to think about it. And really, if it's organic, it will come out for an hour. And it'll be an hour. But it doesn't have to be. It shouldn't have to be. And guess what? Now I know it doesn't have to be. Because what do we have? We have 4Culture Radio. And while I want every syndicated station to still play me, I know that they're not going to want to after a while, because sooner or later, I might record a 40-minute show or an hour and 10-minute show. And you know why that's okay? Because you're downloading this. You're putting it on your iPad, your iPod, your ibuprofen, your little tablets and your little gadgets, and you're putting it on there, and you're taking me to the gym with you, and you're taking me out with you. You're laying in the park somewhere right now, looking up at the clouds. And do you care that I'm talking to you for 30 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes and 30 seconds? You don't care because you're laying there being organic. And I hate the word organic when it relates to the things that the people say today. It's not organic what you're buying, what you're wanting. You're wanting natural. You grow natural. But this organic, just because it's organic, you slap another $30 on it. This is organic radio. And it's for free. We're giving it away. And it should be. It should be free. It should be given away. It should be what it is. And you should be laying in the park, naturally, looking up at the sky, not caring what time it is, just enjoying the sound of our voices. And we can have commercials with organic, but those commercials have to be organic. And I can take breaks, and I will take breaks. But the show can just be what it is. And I think you would like that. But I don't think the syndicates will like that. But with For Culture Radio, it's underground, it's flowing, and we don't have to say that something's going to be on at 7 p.m. EST, although we will, but maybe we'll be running a little late. Or perhaps you could just surround it with musical numbers that, you know, fill the space until that time, or when it drops off. And that's the thing with the scheduling and the software capabilities. Oh my God, I am so happy to have lived to see this. There's the programs, the software on the server. And what is it? What does it do? You put the Fabulous D Show on at 7 p.m. EST. If the Fabulous D Show ends before 9 o'clock p.m. EST, what will happen? Dead air? No! No scheduled music. Another scheduled show. More scheduled tidbits. You can do that because it's internet radio broadcast. And this is the Fabulous D Show. I'll be right back.
Hi, it's me, Frank Cotolo, and at this very moment, I'm listening to The Artist D. I'm dropping the F-bomb right now. Fabulous. There, want to hear it again? Fabulous. There, want to hear it again? Fabulous. There, want to hear... Okay, I was skipping. Fabulous D. Fabulousness.
It's Funtastic on Transtastic.com.
Where can you hear independent music, underground opinion, and more? Tune in to 4Culture Radio at 4culture.com. We're unearthing the underground audibly. Is that a furry in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? Radio. Join Skylar Hall and Bolo Cute Fox for a rousing round of music that spans the genres. It's HotspotRadio.net. Radio. He'll take listener requests and dish it all live on SRN1. It's HotspotRadio.net, live every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. EST.
Radio.
This is Becky Cannon, and listening to The Fabulous D Show. This is Campus Christmas, and as mad as a box of frogs. And don't forget to sign up on Transtastic.com, the most fabulous transcendent social network site in the world.
Our artist D is fabulous. Welcome back to the Fabulous D Show, broadcasting from Earth at theartistd.com.
It's thrilling. It's the Fabulous D Show, and that's thrilling, but it's the internet, and it's thrilling, and it's podcasting is thrilling. And we tried to stay away from podcasting because it was cheap. It was some schmo sitting in his trailer recording crap. And that's all that I don't think that we should do. Although, if you have a platform and you have something to say, you damn well ought to say it. And you should say it. But it's thrilling to be able to sit down and talk to you. And that's what I want to do, is talk to you. And I want to talk to you about where the show is going, where we've been. We had guests, we had parties, we had chat rooms full of people, and we'll have it again. But not every day. We had news, and we'll talk about news. But you know what? I could talk about... It's not about the news story. It's about the concept. And the concept is a show in itself. Because you just don't want to talk about Bobby Joe, who shot his wife and killed and slaughtered and why. No, you want to talk about not only why he did it, but why did they do it? And what's in their minds, and what's going on in their minds. So it's... You want to talk about it. And we used to have a good time. We'll have a good time still. It always reminds me of the concept of right and wrong. When I was learning what it was to be right and wrong, and much like that, compared to life, compared to shows, compared to things that you do, compared to things that you are, we're born with who we should be in our heads. We get it. A lot of us get it. And then we spend the next 20 years reprogramming to find out where we started was okay. We started the show 7 years ago. It was good. We've gone through a lot, and we've had a good time. But really, where are we now? We're back to where I wanted to be. And it's right and wrong. And people will say it's right or wrong. And it's just perception. Even the painful wrongs are but painful, misunderstood, are understood, hurting. And that tells you it's wrong. And you just follow that, you know. But when someone, it always used to bug me when someone say, it's right, that's right. Or no, you can't do that, that's wrong. Well, I only wanted to do something that's not hurting anyone else, and it's only affecting myself. So why is it wrong? And they can never answer that other than, well, everyone says it's wrong. What kind of answer is that? When I inquire further, it's always God said it was wrong. Well, I knew God wasn't listening, so no authority there. And then they could say it's the principal, it's the mayor, the president, the priest. They said it was wrong. Well, how did they get granted that knowledge? How are they there? I mean, when I'm told that these men of authority were just as smart as I was, it completely blew it out of the water. Oh my God. You're telling me that a priest who has the same education as I, and that was interesting, and the same ideals, possibly, is, you know, and the same upbringing, and he happens to breathe, and he happens to have blood in him. He is just like me. And he says it's wrong, but I don't say it's wrong. So which one of us is right? But he's right because he's a priest. He's connected to God, but God doesn't exist. So, where does that take you? And I just saw on Facebook, someone linked an article about how believing in God relieves stress and takes lots of burdens away. This was their argument for believing in God. Now, I would have been okay with that if they had realized they were asking me to pretend that something existed so I could feel better about my life burdens. But they didn't. They were saying you should believe in God because it will make you feel better, and therefore God exists. No. They had it up to the last part. They sold me right up to the last part. In fact, I know the last part doesn't matter. It doesn't. That's what the article said. It said it didn't matter. It said belief in God relieves stress. Of course it does. Of course. When you think someone else is actually managing the books, you feel tons better. It's why we hire people to manage our books. It's why we hire the act, the thought of God. And it doesn't matter if God exists or not. Believing that a supernatural force is helping, protecting, or counseling makes you feel better, which relieves stress. Well, no shit. And I'm fine with your beliefs, as long as they don't tread on my lawn. My backyard is my backyard. So it doesn't matter what I believe, what you believe. And I do know that believing in a higher power is, which is perhaps the converted atheist's main moral quandary when they get to that point. When you're raised on God and realize that your fate is not in the hands of anyone else but yourself, it is very difficult much like driving that vehicle, that you think someone else is assisting you with driving, you know. Pretend you're driving a plane. There's like two steering wheels, right? You think you have help. You have a co-pilot. Oh, there we go. You've got a co-pilot. And you're going along fine. And isn't this every movie everywhere ever made about self-enlightenment and self-power? Is you think you have a co-pilot and then you look over and he left and you've been driving alone all this time and you're fine and you know how to drive all by yourself. You don't need that co-pilot. And it is why we need each other, because it's nice to have a backup. It's nice to have somebody at home. It's nice to know that you can call somebody on the phone and they can come help you, or they can come save you. And there's nothing wrong with that. We are our own gods. Because you can't call God on the phone. No matter how much you think you can. I am a being of awareness. This show, The Fabulous D Show, with I, the artist D, is a show, a vessel of awareness. You don't have to change yourself, but you do have to admit to it. As simple as knowing what eating fried chicken will do to you. That's all I've ever said on this show, is you don't have to change. But could you, for Christ's sake, understand the breadth of what you're doing at all? Do you get it? I mean, you are an idiot if you eat nothing but fried chicken and macaroni salad and don't believe that it's going to make you fat and die. You are not an idiot if you eat nothing but fried chicken and macaroni salad and get fat and understand that you are going to get fatter and die. Eventually. You are an idiot if you smoke cigarettes and think that you're going to be okay. You know the risks you take every time you drink alcohol. And you know that this could be your last fix, your last drink, your last smoke, your last pie. And that's okay, as long as you know it. And where that relates with God, I'm not sure. I'm not sure because some people who believe in God I really like. I've had some on my show. A couple have been my co-host at times. And they truly believe that a being is managing their books. And I don't know what to think about them, but I do know that I like them as people. And they understand where I stand. And they know what I believe and what I think to be true. They know what I subscribe to. Science. Logic. And yet they're still my friend. And that might even endear them more to me. That as long as they are an educated and interesting individual who understands and accepts my position to be my position, not theirs, then we're okay with each other. We're good. I don't care that they believe that there is a God and that there is a heaven and a hell and a punch card system. I don't care, so long as they understand, that they understand that there is an alternative to that out there. And I think that is an interesting thing, and that is a truth, that my friends who believe in God understand that there could be an alternative. They don't accept that alternative, but they accept that it may exist. And that makes it okay. And I'm all right with that. Now, if they said anyone who didn't believe in God is a moron, I'd have a problem with that. Because I'm not saying, contrary to popular belief, that anyone who believes in God is a moron. I'm saying that anyone who believes in God and then falls under several other subtitles is most likely a moron. So just flat out believing is not. It's who are you? What is your mind open to? Do you understand science? Do you believe? And that's one of the things with one of my friends is they believe in God. They go to church. They are praying to someone. And they do think there is an influence on their lives. But do they think that the afterlife is a white fluffy cloud with harps and wings? They actually don't. And some people don't seem to believe that they're going to, you know, it's the belief in cut and dry Catholicism, the Genesis story, the Bible, the blinders on, that this is it. That's what really gets me. You need to have an awareness. And if you don't have an awareness, you're probably not even listening to this show regularly. And if you don't have an awareness, you're probably rarely listening to this show after you heard something like this the first time. You know, understand that you're not going to stop the machine, but you can still do it. You can be organic, hippie, vegetarian, and bleach your hair. Understand, you're not going to get away from the man. You'll never get away from the man. And that's the delusion with this century so far, is that by stopping your actions, it's assumed that you'll be stopping the machine. Stop eating vegetables. Stop eating cows and pigs because you don't like it. How many people out there quit eating meat because they watched a video and they thought it was appalling, but then say, I really miss meat? You're an idiot, because you should still eat meat, because stopping eating meat didn't help you help the world. You're only in this for yourself. So if you want to make the decision to eat no tortilla shells with butane in them, then you do that because you don't want to eat butane, not because the rest of the world shouldn't. I mean, we do this every day. We exist, we coexist in a world where people drink liquid candy daily from morning to night. We live in a society and a culture that they eat bad shit. And for those gluttonous people who you say are gluttonous, evil individuals, we coexist with them and we're okay with that. And that's not a problem. But then when you take the other stance and you're some ravenous, crazy vegetarian person, if you told me that you were doing it to stop the world from eating any more meat, you're an idiot. But if you told me that you're doing it because you hate what you see, you don't want to consume, and you don't want to eat the hormones and the meat and the products and the everything that you know is wrong in it, for you, I'm totally behind you. But don't try to stop the rest of the world, because you're not going to stop the rest of the world. And you're not going to stop the rest of the world just because people like me think you're not going to, but because people have the power. And you're not going to change the world into a vegetable-eating society. You're not going to stop us from bleaching our hair. It's all about curtailing your actions to suit your world. I don't fit in their world. But I do enjoy eating the meat, so I'm going to eat the meat. And I like to dye my hair, so I'm going to dye my hair. But I'm not going to eat all of the bad, bad things. And I'm not going to do all of the bad, bad things. Because life can always be compared to a junkie. Anything in life can be compared to a junkie's life. Why is a junkie a junkie, and why does a junkie die? Because they took too many hits. You're a foodie because you've taken too many hits and died of food inebriation. You smoked too many cigarettes, or you smoked the bad kind of something, and you died. Everything else is a crapshoot. It's not about changing them. And that's what this show is going to stand for, and has always stood for. It's not about changing you. It's about broadening your mind. What have I been doing for the last 6 months? I have been sitting and reading and devouring and learning more things. And going places in my mind where I am uncomfortable. And that's important. And reading things that I am only interested in a way that I don't want to be interested. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to participate in it. But I will read the opinion and the facts anyway and digest this. I'm not out to change the world. I'm out to give you something to hang your hat on, if you so want it. If you want to keep doing what you're doing, if you want to keep going to church and praying and believing in heaven and hell and racism and homophobia and fat hate and hate and all sorts of hate, you can keep doing that, but at the end of the day, you should probably be widening your ideas. Because, you know, I don't meet that many people who are so against something that they don't know more about it. They know more about what they hate, or that they hate it, than the other side. Not to get cheesy, but you can get to the other side of the coin and still hate, but less. They seem to hate less. When you know the other person's story, the other person's shoes, the other side of the coin, you hate them less. And maybe that's all I'm asking. Know that other side. Instead of coming on and saying it's wrong. Period. Because that's what we've found out for the last 7 years, and the last 15, 20 of my career in art, in underground. What have I always done? I have approached, I have discussed, whether it's in writing or audio or video or in person or in chat. You get that person. They are against you. And then you say, well, what about? What about this? What about that? And then they start to do the, well, I mean, yeah, if you do it this way, and yeah, I mean, you can get away with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. That's okay. But until you get to that, they are all out against it. And no one has ever come on this show and disagreed with me 100%. There has always been some give and take, because there's always rational human beings having rational discussions, and nothing is completely wrong, just like nothing is completely right. And therefore, I will do the Fabulous D Show and unearth the underground as it's always been. I don't need to change what is unearthed, but I want to make public knowledge. I want to make it acceptable, lovable, here. You're breathing. You're part of the system. The bad, evil system. We're part of it. The system will always be corrupt. So unless you're planning to unplug completely, you're part of this. It's like people who hate their government. Well, you're part of it. You have a say. Somewhere along the line, there's a long ladder, a long chain, you make up that link. And if you're broken, or if you remove yourself, that chain functions very differently. And who am I? Who am I to be saying it, telling it? I am the Artist D, and I'm not entirely sure who I am. And if the last show of season 5 didn't explain it enough, I'm still finding out. I am the combination of the forces that have surrounded me, in which I have found attractive enough to add to myself. I have said it since day one, be true to yourself, be who you are. But who are we? I read all these books and these things, and I think, I just want to be more like this or that. but I've always felt like an empty jar. Always. Even from birth, and they say that's, you know, some mental issue that you never feel connected. And I've always felt like that. Disconnected. Am I supposed to laugh? Am I supposed to cry? Because really, right now, I'm not feeling either way. But yet society told me, laugh, cry, hurt. When I fell and skinned my knee, I didn't cry. So they said, this hurts. This should be causing you to cry. So I got upset and I cried. But I remained that empty jar. And I feel like an empty jar to this day, still looking to fill myself with all this stuff that I am interested in and that attracts me. Because I can't say, this is my opinion and my belief without saying that I have references for that. I feel like this, I'm like this big Wikipedia, you know? You can't make a statement without knowing that A, B, and C have referenced it, have thought it too, have thought it out. You know, you can have a thought on your own, you can be your own, but then you need to put it out there in the world, and everybody needs to have a little bit of a say to it, and then your mind expands to that. To ask who I was before I was influenced is ridiculous. I mean, that's where people fool themselves into saying they've never been influenced. When reality, you've been influenced since you've left the womb and beforehand, scientifically. You grow up into this world and it's an interesting world. You're full of things. I mean, I watched VH1 and MTV when I was 5 years old. You can't tell me that the visuals I saw, the opinions that I digested, did not stick with me. Didn't do something. Didn't affect me. And you can't say that you prudish, sheepy person out there who is probably not listening to this, are completely yourself. You grew up in some puritanical environment, whitewashed of things, of ideas, and your parents, whom you adored, said things. They gave you books to read. You read those books. And you can't tell me that that didn't build a foundation. Everyone needs to admit that bits and pieces of character and taste are picked up. Neo-postmodernism, it's what we've talked about. And I'm not afraid to admit that I am some sort of patchwork quilt. Brainwashed by myself. And yes, I have, feelings that gravitated me towards things. You know, there's a reason that I woke up and I didn't want to be a garage mechanic, but I wanted to be a superstar. There's a reason that somebody else grew up and wanted to be a garage mechanic and not a superstar. They had ingrown feelings. I wanted to move like Meryl Streep in the movies that I saw in Death Becomes Her. I wanted to carry myself with the air of courage that I saw in Joan Crawford. I wanted my phrasing to be as witty as RuPaul when I watched the RuPaul show, the original. And I wanted to be outrageous, like Brigitte Nielsen. And I watched these people, and I rewatched their performances, and they appealed to me. And they were ingrained in my character. Read this. Commit sections of it to memory, I was told in my upbringing. So I did. I took the things that attracted me. I was attracted to the movies I watched. I was attracted to the lifestyle I saw. So I read that, and I watched that, and I committed it to memory. And I still do that today. I find something I like, a trait that really clicks with me. I'll study it. I'll become it. I'll add it to my character. I'm only adding everything I'm attracted to my portfolio. I'll read the book a second time. I'll listen to the song 6,000 times. Until it is part of me. And maybe this is where the disconnect comes between the things I learn to the way that people often do try to adapt to things. The sex that they try to have with the world is sex. And that is as close, you know how you want to be with someone so badly that you want to hold them so close that you are one with them? And if you don't know it, you've heard that before. You've heard that cheesy line before. I want to be so close to you and so inside you that I become you. And that's how I feel about art and the things that I read and opinions and the things I hear. I want to listen to it so much that I don't ever forget it. And it's in me, that it's part of me. You know, it's like sex with the world. It's sex with culture. Culture sex. You want to be a person and combine people, but I want to be a combination of ideas. I want to merge and meld as closely as possible until those phrases are committed to memory like they are part of me. And there was a reason that I was attracted to RuPaul instead of, say, George Bush, Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, any of these people. I didn't see George Bush and say, oh, that, I want to be that. No, I saw RuPaul and said, that. So that's where the jar is not empty, because I came out as an empty jar, but I knew that that jar wanted to be filled with fabulousness and glitter, and not a political career, a mechanical career. You know, there are other people for that. So there is a reason that we are the way we are. But we are, for the most part, just empty pages waiting to be written on. I am the Artist D, and you've been listening to The Fabulous D Show. And you can hear this and our many other episodes at thefabulousdshow.com. I thank you for tuning in, and I hope you will tune in regularly and download every episode to your computer, to your external hard drive, to your iPods and iPads, even your ibuprofens. And I thank you for tuning in. I thank Derek Bishop, our new producer of the theme song. Visit him at derekbishop.net. And thanks to all simulcasters, broadcasters, and affiliates, I hope you stay with us and be organic with us instead of format your life into this boring format of culture. Culture's what you make it. Until next time, please remain fabulous and don't remain seated. I am the Artist D. Good night.